on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Now the green light switched on. Ready.
With the latest news, interviews and tips from kennels and courses around the country.
Fernando Bale came out of the machine, Hammond.
Welcome to Going Greyhounds.
And just before we head there, Gary Harley's best today is race 7, number 3, Social at Tamworth. Race 7, number 3, Social. Tell you what, the greyhound world is going to be on fire in the next couple of weeks with the 2018 TAB Melbourne Cup. $1 million floating around. Mick Floyd's doing Going Greyhounds this morning. How are you, Mick?
Very well, thank you, Cozzy. It's been a big week of greyhound racing, and as you said, all roads leading towards the TAB Melbourne Cup on November 23. Coming off this week, it's one of the busiest I've seen in greyhound racing. Feature racing over 5 days from Tuesday through Saturday right around the country. It's a great time to be in the sport.
$1 million for a race. I mean, it's not that long ago in greyhound racing, we used to look and think, by gee, a greyhound nearly won $100,000. We were racing for $50,000 races.
It was, yeah. It's incredible. I remember when I first started about 15 years ago, whenever that dog hit the 100,000 mark, it was a course of celebration. But, geez, there's a lot of races now that carry a lot more prize money than that. And, of course, the $1 million chase the other day up in Sydney, it was a fantastic result and a great day for the sport.
Now, I noticed on your program for the 2018 TAB Melbourne Cup, we'll talk about this a bit later on, you get a host of great support races on there as well. But Shona Thompson joins you.
She's had a very good weekend, Cozzy. It wouldn't be a feature race around without Shona's involvement. Of course, Saturday night at the Meadows, the Top Gun was the feature event, and the Thompson family, of course, have had a very good record in this race. Their third Top Gun win. Let's have a listen to the call from Saturday night's Top Gun.
Set racing. Head out pretty fast there. Uphill Jill out the centre. Vying for the lead there with Dinah Patty. They lead settling down. Poke the bear into the box seat third as they swing out of the straight. Uphill Jill takes the lead. Got away three in front. Over Poke the Bear to second. Followed then by Hasten Sally. Over on the inside. Then Hecton Bar to the outside making ground from Real Simple. Followed by Dinah Patty. Trooper Minnelli three. Western Augie on the turn. Poke the Bear the leader. Skipped away. They're going to have to go to shoot this bear down, and Poke the Bear wins the Top Gun in great fashion. Hasten Slowly second, Uphill Jill third, followed by Hecton Bar behind them. Then
he's regarded as one of the fastest greyhounds in the country, and now he's the Group 1 Top Gun winner. And Shona Thompson joins us on the line. Shona, what a fantastic result Saturday night.
It was a brilliant result. It couldn't have been a better night.
He's been one of the leading greyhounds in the country for some time now. He's competed in a lot of group races, but to finally break through at the top level, it's certainly well deserved.
Yeah, he definitely deserved that Group 1. Like you say, he's been competing at top level for quite some time now. We actually just looked up, and his first start for us was, I think, the 12th of November last year. So almost a year here in the kennels, and he took out the Traralgon Cup in January. But yeah, since then he's made plenty of finals but hadn't been able to crack one. So it was fantastic Saturday.
Looking at his record, he's been racing in top grade since the start of January, and he doesn't turn three until December, which is a fantastic testament not just to his ability but the care and the work that you've been put in and the work by the Pulios prior.
Yeah, exactly. Darren and Mick do a fantastic job with their pups. They, rear them, they rock them down. Mick does a lot of work with them before they're sent out to even breaking in. I think most breakers will tell you when they get any dogs for Mick and Darren, it makes their job very easy. Most of the hard work's already been done. So fantastic people to train for and very deserving of this litter.
One of the great parts about his win on Saturday was that tenacity he showed. He's not brilliant out of the boxes every time, but when he mustered and the ability to ride a bump and push through under Uphill Jill down the back there was really exciting.
Yeah, look, I've said a couple of times now, when the box draw came out and he had box six with Real Simple out of seven, it looked like a bit of a disaster. And I knew that he would have to do everything right from box six. But he did that on Saturday. He wasn't, that great away, not as good as he can be. But, he loves it at the Meadows and he tries 100% every time. And he pushed really hard through the first turn there. And when he got to second behind Uphill Jill, I knew that he'd make a really good race of it.
He didn't have a lot of luck in the $1 million chase final, running fourth up there. What did you have to do in the week leading in, given the short backup between the two races?
Look, he pulls up really well. For a dog that puts in 100% every single time he goes round, he always pulls up really, really well after a run. But it was, big trips up to Sydney and back. And he was very unlucky in the $1 million final. I thought that he was probably the run of the race, and had he got to second through the first turn where he copped a bit of a check, I think he would have made that a really interesting race as well. So, but we got him back home on Sunday, and like I say, he's a really, really easy dog to train. He pulls up really well and sort of always bouncing and a happy dog. So I think he's had about 40 starts in the last 12 months here with us, and touch wood, he's been ultra consistent and injury free.
Hopefully that continues. He's obviously his next big goal is the Melbourne Cup in November. Before then, though, what are the plans? He's also the favourite. He's a favourite for the TAB Melbourne Cup, but he's also a favourite for the shootout. Will he be heading down the shootout path or bypass the shootout to keep him fresh for the heats?
Yeah, no, at this stage here, he won't be heading towards the shootout. Probably take him back to the Meadows for another run there and then head into the Melbourne Cup. He'll be lightly raced between now and the Melbourne Cup.
Will that be the silver bullet on Cup Eve? Is that a Red Melbourne Cup Eve?
At this stage, that's pretty high on the list. But get through, get over the last couple of days with him, and he'll just be taking it easy this week.
It was a big couple of days on Friday night. Aston Cometto, one of the most exciting chasers in the country, went around the Geelong Cup final. It was a very, very hot field, and he came from last in one of the great performances at group level this year. We'll have a listen to Robbie Testa's call from Friday night's Geelong Gold Cup.
Orson Allen began well, winning at Speed Star. Orson Allen getting a clear run, going up on the rail, then Fully Loaded, followed by Italian Plastic, and Whitehead would have been at the head of the rest. Emerald Rainbow Wise, Ricardo, Aston Cometto, and Slingshot Hammer off the back. Speed Star the leader by 2.5. Orson Allen, Wise Ricardo running on. They turn. Speed Star the leader on the rail. Orson Allen, Aston Cometto, Wise Ricardo. Orson Allen went up on the rail, grabbed the lead. Aston Cometto late. It's tight. Orson Allen, Aston Cometto have hit it with nothing between them. Then Wise Ricardo for the by Speed Star and
Shona, for any greyhound to come from last to win any race is a huge effort, but for a young dog like Aston Cometto to run down a quality field like that at Group 2 level must have been a real thrill.
Yeah, and over the 460 as well, Mick, which, he's, look at his breeding. He's bred to go a lot further than that. So I think he definitely made a lot of people open their eyes on Friday night. He's, every run he's put in, I've been happy with. He just doesn't have that early pace, and hopefully it's something that does sort of come. He's still only a young dog, so hopefully it's something that will come eventually. And long-term goal, he will get over further. But for him to do what he did on Friday night, I don't think there's been a bigger run this year.
No, it's hard to disagree with that. Not only was he last out of the boxes, he was last coming off the back as well. And as the field packed up going through that turn, he showed a bit of smarts. It has been an issue for him in some races as well, working his way through a field. But the fact he was able to take gaps and then go inside and outside of dogs during the run, it really shows a sign of his maturity.
Yeah, and he's a big dog too. So to have that field knowledge at such a young age and to miss the trouble and in the straight, the five was sort of laying down on him and he still gave his all. And he definitely finds the line very strong. And, it was a huge run. To run down a dog like Orson Allen was, amazing.
He's a big lump of a dog, as you said, 37 kilos. The plans from here, he's obviously qualified for the Melbourne Cup now. Will he be going towards the Cup final? Are you going to have it throw at the stumps there, or have you got other plans in mind for him?
Yeah, no, he'll be going towards the Cup, and the plan with him is probably to head towards the shootout.
Very good. That's shaping up as an exciting race, the shootout. It's a race you've also
had. Hear that.
Very happy to hear that. It is an exciting race, the shootout, of course, on the 8th of November. Four dogs, winner takes all, 25,000 to the winner. Just on the shootout, you've had a bit of success there as well. There aren't many races you haven't had much success in, but what sort of dog profile is best for you? You've mentioned Poke the Bear or bypass the shootout. Why Aston Cometto for the shootout, not Poke the Bear?
We're pretty fortunate in coming into this Melbourne Cup. We do have some really nice dogs in the kennel, and one of my kids yesterday was sort of working out which dogs, could go towards the shootout, but trying to sort of separate them a little bit and, just try and fit in their races where best suits them. So I think the best thing for Poke the Bear is sort of to just wait until the following week for the Cup heat with him. But a dog like Aston Cometto, a four-dog field will definitely suit him.
Certainly does shape that way. Of course, on Thursday night, you also had a pretty exciting one merge there, Black Opium, 5 from 5 now. It was a low-grade race. It was only a mixed race final, but the way she's racing at the moment certainly marks her as one of the more exciting types in the country right now. She is 5 from 5. The Preludes are only a couple of weeks away. We'll be seeing her going towards the Melbourne Cup Preludes to qualify for the Melbourne Cup.
You've been asking me this since Thursday, Mick, and I'm going to put you out of your misery. Yes, she will be heading towards the Melbourne Cup.
That's fantastic to hear. She is a very exciting type. Of course, the record for the fewest wins in a Melbourne Cup winner is about 9 starts from memory, Canton Bowl back in 1999. But you have had some experience with inexperienced dogs coming through this path. Of course, Black Opium came through the Vic Breeders at Bendigo about 10 or 12 years ago now. Runs House came through a similar path there, and he made the Melbourne Cup final at his 8th start.
Yeah, he did. Unfortunately, he didn't win the Vic Breeders at Bendigo, but he headed along the same path as her. And, Runs House was very exciting and gave us many thrills in the time that he raced. But I don't think that he was of the quality that this bitch is. She's something pretty special from, she's only a baby. She's, I think, just hit 19 months of age. So, and like I said to you on Thursday, she really doesn't have a clue what this is all about yet. She just turns up at the track and she loves it. She's having fun. So, I think when the penny clicks with her, who knows what she can actually do. But we will definitely head her in the direction of the Melbourne Cup now.
It's a very exciting time for every trainer, in fact, every greyhound fan, and to have these quality dogs coming through the kennel is always good fun. Just an update on a couple of your past champions, Aston DV, the defending champion. He's now at stud at Awesome Lodge.
He is, yeah, and he's flying. Breeders are really flocking to him, and he's doing very well. I know of 2 litters that have hit the ground, a litter of 7 and a litter of 9, so he's throwing nice-sized litters, and I think he's done about 40 pitches now, so he's going along really well.
And there's been a bit of interest in Poke the Bear at the stud scene. It's not an option for him, unfortunately, but his brother is now at stud, given out of range, a dual Group 1 winner. He's picked up an injury and he's been retired to stud.
Yeah, out of range, unfortunately, did a stopper injury. He won't race again, but I'm in the process of getting him registered, and hopefully his DNA will be back this week. All the other paperwork has been sent in to the board, so hopefully within a week or two he'll be available, and I've already had some interest in him over the weekend. So, yeah, for breeders, unfortunately, Poke the Bear isn't an option, but out of range definitely is.
It's a very exciting time there, both on and off the track. Just a quick one before you go. The Vic Peters on Saturday night, I'm sure you had a very close eye on action at Wentworth Park. You've got Deliver into the final there. First look at Winnie Park, you must have been pleased with the run.
Yeah, really were. He didn't actually travel that well. We drove him up on Saturday, and he was in the car on his own. He didn't actually travel that well, so I've chosen to leave him up there for the week, and hopefully he'll settle really well and see exactly what he can do on Saturday night. He's had a few little injuries along the way, so to get him back racing is great, and very excited to have him in the final on Saturday.
He's a $3.50 equal favourite with Tap Out Dusty, delivered drawing box 3 there. So good luck on Saturday night, Shona. It's going to be an exciting time, and best of luck through the Spring Carnival.
No worries. Thanks very much, Mick.
It was a very big night at the Meadows, of course. The Top Gun for the sprinters was the feature, but there are a couple of other pretty handy races as well, including the Top Gun Stayers, a $75,000 Group 2 feature race. It'll be the final time at Group 2 level. It goes to Group 1 next year. The winner there, Champagne Sally for Ray Berman, was a fantastic effort winning that race at huge odds. $27.60 for the win was a very big result. In fact, the Interstaters did take out all the biggies in that Top Gun Stayers, the two New South Wales stayers, Poco Dorado and Every Ripper, filling the minor places there. It's a really good sign on the stays. In fact, without Tornado Tears and Rip and Sand, there have been quite a lot of stayers stepping up over the ground, and it leaves a race like the Bold Trees in really good shape, of course, a support race for Melbourne Cup Night.
I was about to say that's on Melbourne Cup Night. Have you got a prize money boost for that as well?
We have, yeah. It's now a $150,000 race, 105 to the winner, which makes that one of the premier staying races in the country. And looking at the past years, it's almost taken some of the shine away from the Melbourne Cup with some of the champions that have won in the past. Of course, Fanta Bale last year won the race and passed the $1 million mark, and some other greyhounds in the past that have won as well. Dogs like Sweet It Is, and of course, Mayata won the race a couple of years back too.
Well, we look at Winks on Saturday, 4 Cox Plates. You look at Bold Trees, what a great greyhound.
It just shows you've got to put that performance by Bold Trees into context. We talked about Poke the Bear before and how he's had almost 12 months of racing in top grade, and that's a phenomenal effort, and potentially he could go for another 12. Bold Trees not just raced at the top level, not just raced for 4 years, he raced at the top level and won the country's premier staying race 4 times in a row. It is a phenomenal effort. And a footnote to that story, he just missed out on qualifying for his 5th Sandown Cup the following year. He came in a little bit short of a run and missed out by about 2 lengths on making a 5th Sandown Cup final. Just phenomenal.
David Gill joins you.
David Gill had a very busy weekend as well. He had a couple of runners on the meadows at Saturday night. But on Thursday night, he had a new addition to the kennel go around for his first start in at David's Care, Miss Splendomiro in a Melbourne Cup prelude. Let's have a listen to the call.
Splendomiro began well, wide out. Shadal began a hard. They're going to be the joint leaders as Sachet went up on the rail. Miss Splendomiro whipped around the outside to take the lead, though. Off Sachet, Zipping Sassy and Wise PK in the centre. Then Shadal, followed by Immanbale, Aston Dinigan. Two lengths away, Vital Force, but Miss Splendomiro shot away. Five in front to Zipping Sassy, running on Shadal, Wise PK, Sachet and Aston Dinigan. But Miss Splendomiro turned with a good break. It's a race winner, and Miss Splendomiro comes away to beat Shadal, Zipping Sassy and Wise PK.
David Gill, it's a pretty handy dog to arrive in the kennel at this time of the year, and you must have been very impressed with her performance on Thursday night.
Yeah, hi Mick. Yeah, we were very impressed with her. We expected her to go well because we know her Sydney form. So she sort of just did what, you know, we all expected her to do. But of course, first start for us, you're always hoping that nothing will go wrong.
When did she arrive, and what did you do with her leading into that first race Thursday night?
Yeah, I raced at Wentworth Park in the semi-finals of the Ladbrokes $1 million race, and she ran a very gallant, impressive third, finding trouble. And I brought her home that night with me, actually. I'd been talking to the owners. I've got to know the owners over the last 12 months, but I was talking to them there, and she was always coming down to Melbourne at some point for a Melbourne campaign, and brought her home on the Friday and trialled her on a week later at the Meadows, and she went brilliantly because she had been around Sandown before, and that was the reason we didn't trial her. And leading up to that race at Sandown, sort of that trial at the Meadows, we're very impressed with that, and she sort of backed that up in the race.
She went 29.46. I think she trialled a little bit quicker than that earlier in the year. How much improvement will she take from that run Thursday night?
I'd like to think, knowing how good she is and how fast she is, I'd like to think at some point the next few weeks, if given a clear run, that she could probably knock off 3 to 4 lengths. The reason being that even though she's settled in very well, she's, you know, a very professional little bitch. But she, just different way of working, exercising, the way I work. I free gallop and just basically settling in here. And then I just felt at Sandown where she bumped a couple of times with Shardale, just prevented her from crossing a lot earlier. And then just sort of got galloped on a little bit just through the catching pen area. I just felt when she's balanced up and right, I'd like to think that she can improve 3 or 4 lengths, which will certainly put her in right up there with the best of them.
Absolutely. 3 to 4 lengths off that. You're looking at a 29.20 type run. Certainly win you some good races wherever she goes with that sort of form. Now that you've got the Melbourne Cup heats booked in, what are the plans leading in? There's a couple of good races in between now and then. Will you be taking a silver bullet or shootout approach, or keep her fresh for the Cup heats?
Her primary objective is the Melbourne Cup heats. Now that we've qualified through running in the prelude, that is the objective. And so we've just had a discussion with the owners and Michael Phillips, and sort of we've decided that, and I thought the best path would be maybe just go to the Meadows next Monday night, probably in the grade 5 heats, and sort of ease her into the Melbourne Cup via a couple of runs, hopefully at the Meadows. We might give the shootout, we'll give the shootout a miss. And the reason for that mainly is we know she's fast enough and good enough. But we're looking along that, you know, to have her confidence, if we can get it as high as we can, minimise potential, interference, but, you know, that can happen, I suppose, in any race. But we just thought we'll go another path and but lead into the Melbourne Cup heat and hopefully all goes well before then.
She's certainly right in the mix there. She's a $12 chance, according to Tab at the moment, and on the second line of betting there. We should touch on the Meadows on Saturday night as well, David. Uphill Jill, the defending champ, she was gallant on Saturday night. She found the lead early, but just found a couple too good at the end there. But a very, very impressive third, and you must be delighted with the way she's not only raced on Saturday night, but her entire career.
Yeah, we were absolutely delighted because, it was a middle box again and we just felt that she had to get a big break. Last year, she's second sectional, 17.73, and won quite easily that second split. This time she's run nearly the same, well, not far off the same, 17.78, but she didn't get a lead, virtually just got there on that second split and poked a bear. Got a nice run over behind her. He was always going to run her down. Once he's a very strong dog and very, very fast. And obviously when he sat lob second very close, we were going to get run down at some point. And then when he went past sort of, he crossed and balanced. She lost her balance a little bit. And then some others, hastened slowly and Hecton Bale sort of, there was a lot of jostling and bumping and, but courageous little thing. She just put her head down and kept trying and got there to third. And so we feel that, her first and second sectionals are putting her right into the big races. And, we're probably a little bit stiff that we didn't get four or five in front like she's been known to do many a time. And it didn't happen this time. We just didn't get in a big enough break, Mick. But, look, we're really happy with her. And she's pulled up fantastic, actually. Jumping out of her skin Sunday morning. We're just working out what to do before we go to the Melbourne Cup Heats. I'm just so happy we're going to be able to head to the Melbourne Cup Heats. And my redeemer, the other guy, very unlucky. Got into a nice position, began beautiful, and just before there was a lap to go, he got into a nice spot and we just felt we're ready for him to let go and just go because he can really go when he gets on the lure or gets there early. And just as he was going to get there, a dog ran out sideward sort of thing and cannon into him and put him out of the race. And then he got into trouble again. So, yeah, we're back to square one again.
You'd be hard-pressed to find a more unlucky dog than my Redeemer. He just he cannot take a trick. He since his Harrison Dawson run, his win back in May, he's been running some fantastic races, but he's had no luck with box draws. And even when he does get the favourable draw, and it looked okay on Saturday night, he just still finds a way to find trouble.
Yeah. And unfortunately, a lot of it, most of the time, like when you watch the replays and you analyse it and what's going on with him, and he's a reasonably intelligent tracker. It's just, as you say, he's got to be one of the unluckiest dogs, certainly the unluckiest dog I've ever had. There's no doubt about that because it's not as if he's at the back of the field when he gets into trouble, like dogs can find interference. We all know that. But he's usually in the front three when he gets taken out of races, and that's what's so frustrating for us is dogs are just running out for some reason or another. They're just running out into the middle of the track or trying to get to the outside of the track and just, he keeps getting caught up into it. It's very frustrating because we know how fast the dog is and 600 was going to be his caper, but we'll head to the Melbourne Cup heats and hopefully we might get some luck.
Yeah, well, you're long overdue with a bit of luck for my Redeemer. And, of course, Uphill Jill made the cup final last year. And it's fantastic to hear she's pulled up so well. I know she's had a couple of little injury issues earlier in the year, but the fact she's bouncing out of her skin is a fantastic sign. And fingers crossed she can hold that form and keep showing that early pace and tenacity she's shown through her career for a few more starts yet and can be thereabouts come Melbourne Cup time.
All right. Thanks, Mick.
Thank you, David.
Now, Mick, just one thing for Melbourne Cup night, the Provincial Plate. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it's a new race we've added to the calendar this year. We've turned the Melbourne Cup into a real carnival. It's 3 weeks of fantastic racing. The final Melbourne Cup Prelude series is run on the same night as the shootout, the 8th of November. It's a last chance for greyhounds to qualify for the Melbourne Cup. And part of that carnival is a Provincial Plate. It's open to Victorian bred greyhounds. They'll qualify through four different regions, all over the 500 distance, with the winners progressing onto Melbourne Cup final night on the 23rd of November. It's a great initiative. It's a series that I think we'll see grow quite quickly. It's actually pitched towards the greyhounds that have come through the Great Chase series. The Great Chase is one of the great series in Victorian greyhound racing, a great community event. On Wednesday at the Meadows, it was run, the finals run. Go Commando got up from the reserve as a reserve. Jason Sharp was the winning trainer. He was actually trialling at Sandown on the day, and I'm pretty sure they would have heard the celebrations from the Meadows. He was very excited when Go Commando got up, but a big part of that series is the community aspect. One of the Broadmeadows groups, Broadmeadows Disability Services Group, they picked up the $10,000 being aligned with the winner, and all the finalists on the night had a charity group aligned to them, and they all picked up $2,000 each. It's $600,000 in donations have been raised now for community groups through the Great Chase. It is one of the great community initiatives in greyhound racing.
Just finally, Melbourne Cup night, TAB Melbourne Cup night. How much money is in prize money on the entire night?
There's $1 million up for grabs across the entire night. Eight feature finals. Every race is worth at least $10,000. It is one of the great nights of greyhound racing. Huge crowd. We'll get 5,000 people on course. Dining's been booked out for some time now, or near enough to booked out for some time now. And of course, entry's free. So if you are in town at that time, head along. It is a fantastic night out.
All right. Good on you, Mick. Good to have you on board this morning.
A pleasure. Thank you very much.
Mick Floyd joining us there, Going Greyhounds, and it is a minute to 11, Sky Sports Radio.